The Heritage End of Year Fund Drive is officially on. Become a member today at heritageradionetwork.org/donate.
Don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
Souther, how you doing, buddy?
I am very well and happy to see you.
Happy to see you as well.
Good holiday season to you.
This has been a great show. That's it for The Speakeasy.
That's
this
it, week. Yeah. click on the beating heart.
What's going on, man?
not too much. You know, we're doing that competition with Home Bar Awards. They're getting some, you know, they got a competition that they posted where home bartenders can submit their recipes and potentially be a cocktail on the menu at Amoria Margo for 2 weeks in January.
Yeah. You know, there was a... it kind of reminds me of about like I'm just feeling old as hell, but the New York Magazine put out a this competition, not really a competition. It was more like a wish list thing. This being like the holiday season, it reminds me of that as well.
Sure,
they did this thing like 10, 11, 12 years ago, around the same time I moved here. To New York City, they did this thing where they would have a lot of readers like kind of write in like if you could have anything, like what would your wish be? And you know, there was a lot of things that were very charitable and kind of just like fun ideas. And like one of them was this one guy wrote in and he was like, he's like, man, I just really want to have my sandwich order.
Oh yes,
at
I remember
Katz's
this.
Deli, mm-hmm. You remember that?
Yeah.
And it was basically like everything that they offer there. It was like corned beef hash and like smoked meat and everything. And they're like, we're gonna make that happen. So they did it. It was pretty cool. So he had his sandwich on the menu at Katz's Deli, you know, a New York institution, for a week. So I think it's a really cool idea. But
yeah,
also,
fun.
Like, think about
it. It's kind of giving back, you know?
Yeah. And think about the holiday season. Like, this is kind of a, to me, this is the, like, the time of year in New York where I feel like New York really, there are two times a year in New York that feel so, like, super iconic, like, New York, right? So, like, the summertime where it's, like, crazy fucking hot and you just feel the heat, like, kind of like bringing off the concrete and the brick and everything, and everyone's just kind of like in it together, and they're like, oh man, this is hot, but right. we get it, we're all here together. I mean, you lived in New Orleans, so I can't imagine, you know. But then the other one is like this time of year, the fall, you know, where it like the fall / winter, like holiday season. It's just
it's beautiful. All the decorations.
It feels so
all
different.
The decorations like, are going up.
The
and
air,
twinkling
different.
Lights. And
yeah, man, it's really
hustle
cool.
And bustle of shopping and giving season. You know, it's it's great. Yeah. And then of course New Year's is around the corner.
Totally.
Well,
and then we sleep through January and February.
Yeah, because it's just bitter and cold and gross.
we hibernate.
Well, speaking of bitter and cold and gross.
That's terrible. What a weird segue.
None of those things are used to describe our guest today, Claire Sprouse. Hey, Claire, welcome to the studio.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Welcome.
Super stoked to have you. So, Claire, you do a ton of stuff in our business. You're an educator. You're a sometimes brand representer. You're soon-to-be bar operator, owner, rather. Yeah?
Yeah, I do a few things.
Yeah.
I still have time for Netflix, so.
And time to come hang out with us
and chill.
Yeah.
And chill.
It's been a busy year for me, busy few years. I've been in New York for 2 years now, mm-hmm. and have kind of dipped my toe into the bar restaurant scene here. And
you came here from where again?
San Francisco.
Yep.
And then Texas before that.
Oh, right. I remember you made tamales once.
I did, and I promised to bring you some, and I
never did. I wasn't going to bring up that part, Claire. I was just going to say, I remember you made tamales once. He said, I'll bring you a sack of them. You can put them in your freezer. I was like, I'm so stoked.
I think I still have some in my freezer.
They last a long time in there. They got enough fat ratio that it can last a long time.
It's true. I found out you can bring 15 pounds of masa as your carry-on.
from Texas?
From San Francisco.
Oh, okay. You got masa here, you know.
It's not Mission masa.
I got you. Yeah, that's okay. I get you. Well, I'm still looking forward to them delicious tamales. Okay, so you dipped your toe in, and what did that mean? What did that entail for you when you arrived here in New York City?
Well, let's before we get into that, like what brought you to New York City?
I was in San Francisco for 5 years, and I love that city. I love that scene. I really felt like it was time for me to think about opening my own place. It's a little expensive out there, which I know sounds
shocking
strange.
Shocking to say, you know what? Let's go to New York where it's cheaper.
Yeah.
But it's true, actually, right? San Francisco is
It definitely
crazy.
Helps the transition going from San Francisco to New York, because it's in almost every way, everything is cheaper here.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I thought New York, East Coast, the third coast, second, third best coast. I'm only saying that because I'm a Gulf Coaster by heart. But
so am I. I grew up on the North Gulf Coast of Panama City Beach, Florida.
But yeah, I came out here to see if it would be viable for me to do something. And I kind of immediately knew, like, this was my forever city.
Wow.
Yeah, it felt good. It felt home. Like, all my best friends are here. I love that it's like very community oriented and like a greater scope, but then also in each individual neighborhood. And I'm in Crown Heights, and I was working for a little bit in Williamsburg at a restaurant. I was going to events, meeting people.
Sundays in Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was seeing all my friends, all my lovely friends like you guys at your bars. And yeah, I finally decided last year, actually almost a year ago on Thanksgiving, is when I started looking for spaces. I was sitting at my friend Ivy's house while her mom was cooking us Thanksgiving dinner. And I was like, I'm going to look on Craigslist, which is not a good place to start looking for a bar restaurant space.
Although I think you can, you can find some deals.
Well, it's also just like even the process, like you just start anywhere.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like start. As soon as you have the motivation to do it,
the thing is,
you
start.
Just look everywhere.
Look at anything, yeah. Anywhere, everywhere. Yeah,
exactly. And yeah, I started on Thanksgiving, found a place on Craigslist I worked on for a couple months that failed. That deal didn't go through. Then I worked on another place for about 6 months. And then speaking of trying everything, I was walking through my neighborhood, and a business nearby had closed, and I couldn't find the listing. I called a couple brokers to see if they had heard anything. Nothing was out there. And I just happened to email the dead website. And an hour later, their realtor called me. And 6 weeks later, I signed a lease.
Outstanding.
Yeah. Right on.
So not only did you find something you liked, you found something you liked in your neighborhood.
Yes, I can walk there. It's amazing.
That changes everything.
Yeah, I mean, I love this story because it really kind of like backs up the idea of like being able to just like knock on doors and like kind of like explore every opportunity, you know, because you never know what's going to happen. I know I've got friends who like live in my neighborhood that are paying like $400 a month for their apartment that's like rent controlled, because
the listener, by the way, that's 10 times lower than it should be.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But like, you never know what's going to happen. And you don't know until you ask, you know? And so like, there are a lot of like other friends of mine who have leases for their bars and restaurants. They were just like, it was like through word of mouth, like someone in the neighborhood who like inherited some properties and like and just like kind of found a spot, you know, because they weren't afraid to ask.
Yeah,
you just gotta ask, you know. Yeah,
that's what it
takes.
Open
up the conversation.
New York is good for those like serendipitous moments.
Yeah,
I think the person that does that did our branding, all our graphic design, she does Stick and Pokes, and that's actually how I found her. Was
Stick and Poke. Stick and Poke tattoos.
Yeah, Stick and Poke tattoos
for the listener. Yeah.
And Yeah, and then she was just like really intrigued by the process, and so I have like all these different people working on it with me because I have no money.
Bootstraps, man.
Yeah,
get real creative all of a sudden.
I am. I learned how to put up, relearned how to put up sheetrock this week, and it's been about 10 years since I had to do that back in my like museum days. And I'm going, I was Googling how to tile floor this morning when I woke up.
Thank God for YouTube tutorials, man.
I learned from YouTube.
No, but the great part is you don't have to know it. You just follow along and do it, and then you just forget that information and move on.
Yeah, but isn't that weird, though, like with like apps, like Google Maps and like Waze and stuff like that? Like, you kind of...
You rely on it too much.
Maybe a little bit too much.
Yeah, I do for sure.
I have to using Google Maps. Otherwise, I know I don't know where you are.
Yeah, exactly.
You just have to get lost.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah, that's the best way to find anything is by getting lost.
Was the space you found so close to your apartment previously a hospitality business?
It was. It was a bar and restaurant, and they also made wine there.
Made wine?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Local wine producer. They have a couple other spots, and I think they just wanted to put all their energy into those.
Got it. Mm-hmm. So you had some infrastructure that was already there. You weren't just taking a white box or a former retail space and turning it into a bar.
And actually, out of all the places I had looked at over the last year, this was in the best shape, for sure. Even, like, the stuff they left behind, like... I'm like, is that an ice bucket? Do you know how much an ice bucket costs? All these things add
up. Isn't that crazy? Yeah, when you start like really digging into it, you're like, Jesus Christ, pour spouts. When you have to buy like hundreds of them at the bar, you're like, that just like really like cut out my... I guess we're not going to have a toilet because I had to have pour spouts.
Yeah.
And that's where the budget went.
The challenge is balancing out, which is more important. So you found this beautiful place. How much did you have to change?
We're doing a lot of cosmetic changes because we certainly had like different aesthetics.
Sure.
So a lot of painting, redoing some of the floors, readjusting the wells because I'm particular, probably more particular than a wine.
Wine-focused
restaurant. And... so just like all those little tweaks, getting everything right, trying to, you know, it's my neighborhood, so I have the benefit of like walking around and knowing what maybe is missing or what people are looking for. And so
does that impact your initial vision? You know, like you have a vision of your place, but then the neighborhood kind of tells you some things have to change, right?
I think so. You know, along the way, everybody always asks me like, well, what type of place are you opening? I'm like, well, it really depends
where
I find it. Like, I don't want to be so committed to one concept that it might not be like appropriate, or it might tread on some other people's turf a little bit.
Or just might not fit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think that's a very important thing to note, especially when you open a bar or a restaurant or any business, really, in, well, I think especially bars and restaurants, in like a city that's so densely populated like New York City, and all of the spaces are super small, you have to really let the space kind of dictate what the outcome of like the actual vibes of the business, right?
Right.
But also the community is very important, right? So like you could open up, let's say, just a simple like kind of like devil's advocate here, like situation, like I'm gonna open up a Manhattan bar, and then everyone's like, but I drink old fashions, you know what I mean? Like, even as simple as that, you know.
Yeah.
They're two whiskey based cocktails.
Yep.
But
maybe, I always say, you know, you have to plan your work your plan, and ultimately be flexible.
Yeah.
By the time you open the doors with your concept ready to go, the first 100 or so guests are going to come in and tell you what it really is.
Exactly. So what is your plan so far?
I mean, we're going to be open all day, 8 a.m. to 2 a.m.
I'm so sorry for you.
Wow.
You guys are looking at me like I'm crazy.
Man, my eyes just bugged out of my head.
we'll be...
It's a good thing you can walk to work.
Yeah, we'll be open all day. We'll have some delicious coffee, non-alcoholic options, a lot of low ABV things.
That's pretty on trend, though, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my favorite places in the city is Dante.
I was just about to say, Dante opens pretty early, right? What time do they open?
Like 11, 10 or 11. And even when I was working in San Francisco at ABV, we opened at 2, which was pretty early for most of the bars there. And we kind of became this default daycare for people that were looking for great for great beverages earlier, but then the other bars opened.
Interesting people. Yes.
They're our friends.
Yeah. I mean, that's something I've definitely experienced a lot since I've moved out to San Francisco. Is ABV's open at 2.
Yeah.
And the newly minted, newly opened Bon Voyage is open at 2. Things start earlier there, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My buddy Rebecca Pinnell works there at Bon Voyage. Mm-hmm. She used to work for me at Coup.
Yep.
But yeah, 8 a.m. all day.
So there's a kitchen?
Yes,
so you're going to serve some food. Okay, so we got some coffee and breakfast and low ABV items, maybe a croissant, that kind of thing.
Probably a little bit more involved than that. I have to I don't cook. But I have lots of ideas about things that
breakfast
I like
tamales.
To eat.
Claire Sprouse's House of Tamales.
It's a beef jerky bar.
Claire's Tamale House in Brandy Depot.
two things I like.
Is that the name of it?
I'm already interested.
Actually, what is the name of it? Yeah. You haven't even said that yet.
It's Hunky Dory.
That's so goddamn cute.
It is. That's Hunky Dory.
It is cute.
It is.
Hopefully not too cute.
I'm always
everything's hunky dory.
I'm always really impressed by my friends who own up spots and the way they name them. But I'm also kind of pissed off at them for taking up all these really great names.
I just wanted it to be optimistic.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I like it.
We need that.
I like that it's got a little bounce to it. Hunky dory. It's a little sing-songy when you say it.
Sing-songy, yeah.
And I don't think it's one that'll get abbreviated too much, you know? I think Grand
Army.
They're
not going to call it Hunk Door.
Right. Yeah, right. I hope not. Grand Army, I think people still say Grand Army. Amore Amargo, people say Amore.
I'd be okay with Hunky. Hunky's not bad.
Blue Quarter's only. People call fancy. Going to fancy.
Blue Quarter's only 7 months old. People just call it Quarter already.
Yeah.
People are lazy here.
There's that.
All those things are way too words.
They just work really hard. The hustle's super real.
Yeah.
Everything happens at a faster pace. They're they don't have time to.
Trying to expedite everything.
Yeah. They don't have time. I get it.
I ain't got time for a second word.
So this is going to be a neighborhood spot that. And it went. And opening soon.
Yes.
This show is recorded in the future. Which is live from the future. So opening soon, if not already opened. Could have already opened at this point.
Who can say?
We don't know.
I would like to ask. Because
what is today? We don't know.
Well, not that. My favorite thing about my friends opening restaurants and bars, even retail spots, clothing stores, anything. I like to see the process. So I always ask to. I rarely go to friends and family nights because I know that it's going to be a fucking shit show.
Right.
And it's not even close to the truest representation of what the place is actually going to be.
Yeah, that's weird. I almost never go either. Actually, when I do, I typically just roll up to the bar, have one drink, slam down some money, and it's
a beer. I don't even want to try.
Exactly. Say, I'm so stoked for you. Yeah. This looks great.
Yeah.
I'm going to come back when it's real.
Yeah, but
I want to show my support, but I don't want to.
But you
get
also,
in the thick of it.
I don't know if you're like me, Souther, but I like to go into places while they're under construction.
Because I'd love that.
I love I think a lot of this is being an artist and working on projects and the process of working on them. The end product is going to be there, right? But the process of building it out and working on it, even working on songs, restoring a classic car, building a chopper, whatever, it's I like that process. Maybe a little bit more than the actual end process.
Yeah.
because
Claire,
like,
do you have an Instagram? Are you posting like process
I
shots?
I do. I'm posting a little bit
because I love that stuff. That's Instagram's like a new way to see this stuff. You know, a couple of my friends have bars that they've opened, and you see like, here's the totally raw. I just got
you
it
see
today.
The skeleton of the bar.
I got it today. Like, now I got to rip shit out. Then I got to put shit in. And I'm like watching it happen. It's really fascinating.
I've been posting on my own, but also we have it's at Hunky Dory BK for Brooklyn. Is our Instagram, and I post pictures.
It's not British
on there.
Nice. Sorry, I'm a kid from the 80s.
And then, you know how every place that's under construction puts brown paper up on the windows?
Yeah, I hate that. They don't want me to see what they're... I know what it is in New York. It's because they don't want the building code guys to see all the things they're doing illegally.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I am not, just so we're clear, I'm not doing anything illegal.
Just so you're clear.
But I did, I was waiting for the internet people for, it seemed like hours and hours and hours the other day. So I ended up cutting out little, peepholes. So like people in the neighborhood could walk by.
Like at the construction site.
Yeah, exactly.
That's brilliant. There's a good middle ground. Sure. Just cut a few holes that I can see a few things as I walk by.
Just a few little glimpses. So
are they diamond shaped like the ones in the...
It's like little pieces of our branding. Like so stars and like a flower and... little things like that. So,
it's already setting the tone for the brand. I love it.
And people have actually been messaging me on Instagram because of it and taking lots of pictures. So,
cool.
I like that it's involving like the people that actually
walk
by every day.
Yeah, you should. I don't know if you did already, but you should write your handles on that brown paper so people can get involved right away.
I will go home and do that immediately.
Hashtag Hunky Dory.
BK.
Hashtag.
Hunky Dory BK.
Okay, fine.
You got to get it right, dude.
Fine. Listen, we need to take a quick break and hear from our sponsors, which are Le Creuset right now. We're all fancy.
It's amazing.
Le Creuset is sponsoring Heritage Radio Network and the show Speakeasy. That's awesome. So let's take a break here from our sponsors and have a quick station break. We're coming right back with Claire Sprouse. We're going to talk more about Hunky Dory BK, as well as this beautiful bottle of schnapps you brought us to drink, and also what role you take as an active person in the education world that's involved in our community. All right, we'll be right back.
For the past 10 years, Heritage Radio Network has brought listeners around the world the most important voices in food and drink. I'm Matt Patterson, the lead engineer here at HRN. 6 years ago, when I was teaching myself to brew beer out in San Diego, I listened to Heritage Radio shows for tips, tricks, and inspiration. Heritage Radio's programming simply would not be possible without the support of listeners like you. Become a member of Heritage Radio Network today and give HRN a strong start to our second decade. Choose from exclusive member gifts and stay in the loop on discounts to upcoming events. Now is the best time to show your support for HRN. Go to heritageradionetwork.org/donate.
And we're back. You're listening to The Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network. And we have our lovely friend, Claire Sprouse, in the studio. We've been talking about her new bar, Hunky Dory. You know, one of the things that, like, I love talking about, when we're on the road, me and Souther, like, separately, sometimes together, it's like, you know, with all our wonderful, like, fans of the show and listeners, I get a lot of questions about, like, how, like, what was it like opening a bar, and what were some of the major challenges involved with that? And I mean, I can talk about that shit for fucking ever.
Yeah.
Cause like what were the major challenges? All of them.
Yeah.
You know,
everything happened.
So far with the process of opening a beer spot, and I want to kind of touch on this again too. What's really great about a lot of the listeners that reach out to us and ask these questions, they are bartenders who have been listening to this show and for years, and they are like in the process of like developing the business model, or they're in the process of actually opening their bars just in the same way that you are right now. And any advice like that we can provide for our community and our family,
sure,
our extended family, as it is, what are some of the hurdles that you've had to deal with in like major ways, and how did you, or how are you getting over them?
You know, before I was doing a lot of consulting, and I opened quite a few places, but they were in Texas and California, never New York. So I have to be honest, I wasn't familiar with a lot of
the New York shit. The hardest.
It's a lot of shit.
But that being said, I'm very good at Googling, and you know, there are a lot of, as speaking very locally, there are in New York quite a few resources for small business owners. So New York Small Business Association does restaurant owner boot camps that are free. You just have to go all the way to the Bronx to go to them, which is a great excuse to go eat delicious Italian food.
That's awesome.
And they go over like all the regulations. That same organization also provides free compliance advisor visits, and they do walkthroughs. They'll do multiple walkthroughs of your business, everything from like DOH and where you can put your DOB, trash and DOB.
H3 stuff.
Yeah, all of that fun stuff. That's so glamorous. The most fun about stuff. And then you know, also just my general network, you know, calling people, asking about plumbers and things like that. I actually, one of my neighbors suggested this app called Nextdoor, which is, it's kind of like a Craigslisty thing, but it's very centralized to your neighborhood. And people post like, oh, I found this puppy, or does anybody, there's a free shelf on the street. And I'm like, that sounds terrible. I don't want to know all this stuff, but it's actually very useful. And, so I've gotten lots of good local contacts. It's always nice when I can like bring, like hire somebody from within the neighborhood, and even selling furniture off that I don't need. I have people coming in, and so they get to peek in at the place. But that's definitely a big one, like knowing your regulations. But I guess, you know, reaching out to your city and seeing if they have like resources for that. And if they don't, like pushing for them. And trying to organize other people that might be already established, like how can you help other businesses? I think for small business owners, we all have to kind of like fight together to make things happen.
Agreed.
And so I try to be really, even in New York, again, specifically, community boards are such a important, for better and worse, for part of each neighborhood. And I have been... through this process, gotten really involved with my community board, and it's been really interesting to see how like all these things kind of pass through, from, you know, a neighbor complaining or a neighbor asking for something to a community board telling their local representative, like, this is what we need and how can we set this in motion. Sometimes those don't happen from years from now, but hopefully whoever's opening a bar restaurant in a few years will have that resource available to them.
You know what's interesting about community boards?
So many things.
Oh my. I don't know if we have enough time for this, but like,
there isn't enough time in the world.
First of all, just so everyone knows, community boards do not have the final say on anything that you do. And this is like more for our listeners, right? Mm-hmm. Community boards don't have any say on, like, they don't have the final say. They do have a say. The thing is, like, this is where it is kind of weird, but also, like, pretty cool. They don't dictate what your liquor license is going to be, like, how late you can serve. But they suggest it to a judge that's going to eventually pass that on.
Right.
So... you can go to community board meetings and you can talk about it, and they might be like, yeah, you know, I go to bed early, so I think your liquor license should only be like midnight.
Right.
And you're like, nah.
Yeah.
That's like, first of all, I don't think anything, my bar, Grand Army, has a 4 o'clock liquor license, but I will say this. We're never open past 2. I don't think anything good happens in a bar after 2 o'clock.
I kind of don't either. I have a 4 a.m. license. I'm not open until... my latest hour is Friday and Saturday at 3.
Just because you have it doesn't mean you have to use it. So, and that's kind of on the other side. That's what the community board is. Mm-hmm. They have a say, but they ultimately don't have a say for your business.
Right.
So, like, if they're like, well, I don't think you should be open past 2, you'd be like, you know what? Actually, me neither. But if I want to, if it's like New Year's Eve,
of course,
I'll be up until 4, whatever. Mm-hmm. But even if they turn you down, you have the right to go to the court and request a 4 o'clock liquor license.
Yeah.
It is a lengthy and expensive process. Yeah. I don't know.
But to expand on that, sorry, the fact is that they are your community.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And you should be working with them.
You want to be a good neighbor.
Yeah.
You want to be a good neighbor, but also, I don't know, I feel like the more people that are young small business owners that get involved, like, it's a really great opportunity for, you know, there's this stigmatism around community boards and they only want to, like, their party police, right? And to a certain degree, there are decisions that they make because they're like, that sounds like a terrible business model for everybody. But I think it's for us, you know, an opportunity for us to start getting them to kind of understand the small business model a little bit better and, like, how restaurants and bars are also very valuable contributors to our communities. Exactly. And so I'm excited.
Especially a place like yours that's going to be open to service the community morning, noon, and night.
Yeah, and I'm excited to keep going to the meetings even after my approval and, like, try to, you know, hopefully
have
be
a
that
voice.
Person of balance.
Well,
it's
absolutely important to be involved in the community and, like, have your voice. Like, especially, like, we are moving through a period in time right now to where a lot of the old guard, you know, that have older ideas, they're kind of like phasing out a little bit, and we need to go to the polls and vote.
Exactly.
You know, we need to, like, be involved. We need to be the leaders of our community.
We can't just grumble and complain. We have to get out there and make our voice heard.
No great use in complaining. Unless you're actually doing something about it. So, like, I'm sorry, I realize I'm about to go on a fucking totally crazy tangent.
All right.
Well, but one of the other...
We just had the midterms, like, it's that time of thinking these thoughts, totally. You know?
But, like, it's very important. Like, there are, like, police, kind of like a neighborhood communication initiatives are going into play right now. That have been over the last, like, year or two, that all they do is, like, handle, like, neighborhood communications, and especially for places like bars, because when there's some shit going down, like, they'll get calls from bars, and they're like, there's some crazy fucking domestic thing, like domestic violence, or, like, Rabbit. I just saw someone, like, run over someone in the street, you know? Like,
Rabbit, hopefully got those lines of communication open and flowing at all times.
You have to have the lines of communication. You have to constantly be talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, talk when nothing's going on so that when something's going on, you're understood better and quicker. Sadly, we've run out of time.
Is it because of me?
No, not necessarily. There's another show backing us up today, and we got to get out of the studio. But it's so nice to have you on, Claire. I want to get you back because I want to talk about how involved you are in education in our community as well. Damon and I both saw you out at Portland Cocktail Week.
Yeah.
You were giving a talk about carbon footprint, costing out your carbon footprint. That's pretty interesting stuff to me, especially, you know, now the movements about getting rid of straws, getting rid of napkins, losing coasters, like being a little bit more environmentally sound behind the bar, choosing products that are doing the same thing before they get into a bottle on your bar. Like, there's a lot of things to think about, and I think
I brought you guys
you're a voice for that.
Some straws.
Are they made of hay?
They're actually made from avocado pits.
Oh, rad.
What?
And I don't carry... I'm not that crazy person that carries around straws in my purse, but I did just get... they just sent me all their samples, so I wanted to share them with you guys.
We'll check them out. You also brought us this beautiful schnapps that we were sipping on. What was the name of it again? I took a photo for our Instagram.
Roquel. Brought in by Nicholas Palazzi. Really awesome traditional
amazing.
Austrian schnapps.
Really
amazing
delicious.
Dude. That guy.
Very floral and
that guy doesn't give a fuck, man. He just, like, brings in whatever. He is such a great, like, resource for weird awesome booze.
He's the best. Have you guys had him on the show?
No.
Yeah.
But you have. Well, I before have. Me, yeah. Before my time.
We haven't, but I have.
That's right.
So let's talk about this just for a second. Thing is, like, just because we have Claire on the show today doesn't mean it's the last time she's going to be here.
We're going to have her back.
The conversation that we were just talking about like sustainability, responsibility, recycling, composting, this is a conversation that we need to continue to have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is why we're going to have you back on the show.
We'll get you
multiple times.
Yeah, we'll get you back on maybe with Nama Tamir. You know, they're doing a great program over at Lighthouse.
Totally.
All right. Check out that Home Bar Award thing. See about getting your cocktail on the menu at Amore Margo. Check out at Hunky Dory BK on Instagram to see what's going on with Claire Sprouse at her new spot. Of course, check out heritageradionetwork.org. Click on the Beating Heart to donate to shows like ours and on all the other great shows that are on the air. Keep us live and on the air.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I want to say to everyone out there, this is something I always say every fall during the holiday season. I just want to reiterate it because I know we tend to forget about this based on the fact that we live in New York City and we don't really drive anywhere, but it is a holiday season. There's going to be a lot of holiday parties. Please be responsible out there. I know we have a lot of fun in this studio.
We do.
But we don't have to...
I don't have to drive.
We don't have to drive. So please just want to reiterate to everyone to be responsible, be safe, love each other, and live to see the next holiday season.
That's right. No tragedies this holiday.
Yeah. All right, so that's it for the Speakeasy this week. Thank you so much, Claire, for being on the show. Can't wait to have you back as many times as you want.
I'll be here.
The
door
is always open. And the
quick shout out too, by the way, Jake Zimmerman came in again.
Oh yeah,
sat in on the show with us all the way from Minnesota.
Minnesota,
yeah. He brought us a bottle of Ray and Nephew because you know overproof rum, we never have enough.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we have any underproof rum.
I don't think we do.
I don't think we have any normal proof rum.
Nope.
In the studio, but I will say, if anyone wants to send us a bottle for the Speakeasy Studio,
we'll always take it.
We'll always take it. So that's it for the Speakeasy this week. Tune in to heritageradionetwork.org for many, many programs like this one. Click on the Beating Heart to donate to the station so we can continue to have friends in from all over the world. And till next week.
That's it.
Cheers.
That's it. Happy holidays, guys.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the Beating Heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.